number three, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. It has been a fast and furious show. A lot of Titans with Brian Callahan out. Mike McCoy in as the interim head coach. And to continue that conversation, we say hello to John McClain from Houston. John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Anything happening up there?
Oh, you know, all quiet here. Nothing too crazy. I'll just get your initial thoughts. Brian Callahan has been fired as the head coach. Mike McCoy has been named the interim. What do you think about both those moves?
Well, I told you weeks ago I thought McCoy would be promoted because he's a former head coach. When Callahan was fired, I thought he would have been fired after the shutout defeat to the Texans. And so it's certainly not surprising. I don't know anybody up there, and that includes friends in the media, friends who are ticket holders, or friends who are just fans that didn't want Bill Callahan gone. And I saw the news conference with Brinker and Baganzi. And, you know, you want to see growth. It can be in increments, but the growth is not taking steps backward. And, you know, some of it's talent, but a lot of teams play close games. Brian Callahan's walking away with a lot of money. And the only thing I can tell you about the next coach, I seriously doubt it will be someone who has not called plays. I still feel it'll be an offensive-oriented coach, but it'll be one who has a proven track record as a play caller.
And I know you have said you like John Gruden. You said it on our show, and I saw it yesterday on Twitter. I think he certainly could be a candidate. The only thing that I would say is, with there being, as I've put it, stuff. Like, you know, Brian Flores has stuff. Gruden has stuff. There's some baggage there. Do you think where this organization is, how they're viewed, especially by the Nashville fan base, should they maybe consider staying away from somebody that's going to bring baggage?
Well, first of all, I'm not recommending Gruden, but from a team moving into a new stadium, trying to rejuvenate the fan base, and a guy who's won a Super Bowl. And I think in the current climate in which we live in America, you can say just about anything you want and get away with it. And, of course, if Gruden gets hired, everything that those emails will be brought up again is racist emails. He'll have to answer to them in a news conference. I'm pretty sure Gruden could handle it. But, you know, I'm thinking guys like Clint Kubiak at Seattle, Cliff Kingsbury at Washington. Kubiak's going to be – he's a play caller. He's going to be a head coach at some point. Cliff Kingsbury's going to get a second chance. He's done a great job with Jaden Daniels. And I'm not saying it'll be one of them. I don't think it'll be a defensive-oriented head coach. I think it'll be like Brian Callahan, but it'll be someone who didn't come from an organization where they did not call plays. And I can't imagine they're going to go for a college head coach. One of the things to keep in mind, Green Bay and Kansas City, since Brinker came from Green Bay, McGonzie came from Kansas City, you know, you keep an eye on those organizations. They've had coaches come through there, good assistant coaches who were there during their tenures. And what's going to be interesting is to see if those guys agree on somebody, because they both might have their own guy, and Brinker has a final say, plus Amy Adams Strunk's here. And I think it'll be a long process. You know, if you want to bring James Franklin back to Nashville, you could. That's not going to happen, not in the manner in which he's been fired. But you're the first one to do it. There's going to be a lot of options out there. You know, you don't need to fire a coach to get a head start. You've already got a head start. Now, Brinker, when he came there, you know he's got guys he wants to hire that he knows. You know Baganzi, he's got guys he wants to hire, because Callahan was hired by Cawthon. you know, he wasn't long for this coaching world. And then when you have the problems that he had with clock management, rules not showing any kind of growth, you knew it was just a matter of time. And now, of course, Mike Vrabel's coming back. And, you know, Mike will do everything he can to win that game and win it handily.
Talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, in 1985, when Bud Adams hired Jerry Glanville, did Bud go to the press conference? Can you remember that?
No, Bud never went to any press conferences. No owners go to press conferences when people are fired. Every once in a while, some of them, like Jerry Jones, will go when they're hired. They might say something. But in 1985, Jerry Glanville, Hugh Campbell was the head coach. Jerry Glanville was the defensive coordinator. In 86, he was the defensive coordinator for 2 years. And I remember when he didn't get fired, his contract ran out. Bud actually showed up to that, and we all knew he was gone, and Bud didn't want to fire him, and they said he just didn't renew his contract, which means you got fired.
Right.
And I'll never forget that news conference. It was at night, and I'm standing there next to the local NBC affiliate backup weekend sportscaster who goes live while we're waiting and says, "We are at the ABC building, and we are waiting on owner Bud Adams and head coach Jerry Glanville to come out and announce that Glanville is signing an extension." And when he finished, I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, "Rick, when they come out, they're announcing that Jerry's gone. You should have seen the color come out of his face." That's what they did. And Bud was saying this stuff about Glanville, in which we know he had his fingers crossed and his toes crossed, and he got a tear to his eye. He later told people, well, he felt something. He probably had a few pops, and he just decided to go with it. But it was one of the strangest news conferences I've seen that involved the head coach.
Well, and then you had the one last night. Just a lot of Titans fans, John, as you understand, are upset because she's not made an appearance, a statement here and there. They want to see her. They want to hear from her. And it's really frustrated a lot of Titans fans here. And I'm not sure she knows that, John.
Oh, I guarantee you Amy knows it. And no owner shows up when they fire anybody. They put out a statement written by a PR person. So I don't know. Even Jerry Jones doesn't come to the firings. He waits till his talk shows so he can get better ratings.
Well, she didn't even put out a statement on this one. And here's the other thing. And I don't disagree with what you're saying. I totally, you're right. But when they honored Mike Keith, she couldn't even say anything. She stood there next to him. And that's something in the past she would have said something. When they retired Steven Eddy's number, she said something. And so it's like, you know, it used to be she was a little more, you know, she never really did press conferences, but she was a little more visible. Now she's hiding. And for a fan base that is financially responsible for this new stadium that's being built, that's a bad look for them. And it doesn't sit well with them.
Well, I'll guarantee you, Amy Adams Strunk didn't speak about Mike Keith because if they'd introduced her,
I know.
Then I know what the reaction would have been because the team is doing so poorly. And but just know this, I don't know any owner who shows up when a head coach gets fired. The Texans fired 2 in 2 years. We never saw the McNair family. They did put out the statement. We knew it was all the PR people, but that's just the way the NFL works.
I understand. We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Continuing our discussion with John McClain. Of course, always joins us usually on Mondays, but with us having Predators yesterday, we had to move some things around. So appreciate John for doing that. And he's presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to wow. How can Mike McCoy, I'm not going to say fix this, John, because I think this is beyond fixing this year, but how can he help make things better for the coaches and players that are currently on this roster?
Is he going to call plays?
No, it's still going to be Bo Hardigree.
I would guess the first thing people are going to want to see is improvement with Cam Ward. And I'll tell you, and this comes from 49 years of covering the NFL, I see people up there who are already convinced that Cam Ward is a bust and he can't play,
yep.
Which is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Agreed.
Because there's so many players, quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks, and it's because of the people they put around him, because of the system, because of the coaching, because of the impatience of an owner. Owners tend to do those quarterbacks injustices. If a quarterback coming out of college is highly rated by everybody as Cam Ward was, and he doesn't pan out right away, look at the people around him. And the problem is so many of these quarterbacks, they get drafted high because the teams are bad. And the guys that slide for one reason or another, like, say, Lamar Jackson, Ben Roethlisberger, and there's so many others, they go into better organizations. Dan Marino is another one. And so they have more time to develop. I think what you want to see may be Cam Ward throwing more short, quick passes, not letting him freelance as much. Maybe, and I'm sure they do this, find out what he's comfortable doing and try to do more of it regardless of what the score is, just to help him gain some confidence in the people in front of him and the people around him. I know he's had his moments, but I'll tell you, never give up on a quarterback as a rookie. And if before you look at what's going on around him, and I can't imagine anybody up there would think he stepped into a good situation, because he did not.
So I want to ask you this, going back, and it's obviously a different situation. McNair hadn't been drafted yet, but in 94, the Titans or the Oilers fire Jack Pardee. Jeff Fisher's named the interim head coach. And ultimately, at the end of the season, Floyd goes through the process and comes to the conclusion that Jeff is his guy. They draft McNair in the 95 draft, and then Eddie, and then we all know what happened with when they moved here and with the Titans. Was there a point in that 94 season where you saw something that made you think Jeff Fisher might be the right guy for this job, or did it take some time?
First of all, it was all sham interviews by Floyd Reese. They knew they were going to hire Jeff. You know, they were terrible in 94, right after they'd been 12-4 in 1993. And the team fell apart because of free agency first year. And everybody liked Jeff Fisher, what they saw of him, the way he carried himself. You know, Jeff had really been a coach since he was a player. You know, that 1985 Bears team, which had the most dominant defense in Super Bowl history, Jeff was really, because he was on injured reserve, was like an extra coach for Buddy Ryan. So he started young. You know, he had not had to coach anywhere but the NFL. He'd gone defensive coordinator under Wade Phillips. So people saw a lot in him. Floyd certainly did. You know, Bud always, people said Bud hired him. Now, Bud listened to his general manager, Ladd Erzig. He listened to Bum Phillips. Now, he did make some moves that he did on his own against them. But in that one, Bud was fine with Jeff because Floyd really believed in him, and everybody did. So when Jeff started, you know, he took over a team that was falling apart, and he did a great job of keeping it together. And I'll never forget that in Kansas City, primetime game, they scored a touchdown. He goes for two on a fake in which the holder, Rich Camarillo, the punter, tried to throw a two-point pass to the snapper, Bruce Matthews. It backfired, of course. And I remember my grades. Usually the lowest I ever gave was an F-, and I created a new category for that one with Jeff as a G, because it was one of the worst calls in history. And he admitted afterward, I had that play in mind in case we scored first, and they did. and he never did it again. That's one of the things about Jeff Fisher. If he did something wrong, he admitted it. But Jeff always, always inspired an air of confidence. And when you're a head coach and you're losing, you got to know the rules. Jeff knew the rules. You've got to inspire your team when you stand up in front of them. You've got to inspire them when you're dealing with the media. And Jeff Fisher was great at both of those tasks that he had to master as a head coach of a franchise that was in the worst situation I've ever seen a franchise be in.
Have you not seen this franchise lately? John McClain's on with us on the Chase and Big Joe Show.
Are they moving?
Well, one can hope. I don't know. John, Chase has probably the best point made out there of a coach that we want to bring to town. We're big Art Smith fans because I saw what he did here, and I know he wasn't successful in Atlanta, but Chase made a good point earlier. Arthur Smith was here in 2011. He knows how to deal with the BS within this organization. And, John, I think that goes a long way. I think Art's a damn good coach, but also knowing how this organization is run, just like you do, is huge. And I think he'd be great because he knows everything, that all the parameters, everything that goes on. I hope they give him a call.
I'm sure they will. Arthur, the problem with him in Atlanta, he didn't have a quarterback.
Right.
If you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win. I thought they pulled the plug on him too soon. And he's done a really good job in Pittsburgh adapting to Aaron Rodgers. Do we hear anything controversial out of Rodgers? No.
No.
And I'm sure Mike Tomlin has a lot to do with it, but Arthur Smith does too. And I'm guarantee you they're going to call him. I was amazed when Arthur Smith got his job. You can't tell me his dad didn't have some influence with that to get his foot in the door. And then the way he worked his way up, and every coach kept him. And I talked to a couple of those coaches, and I said, have you been told by the owner to keep Arthur Smith? And they said, no, we have not been. And he survived each one of those for a reason. And I would think the way the Steelers are going, usually the head coaches come from organizations that are successful. Mike Vrabel was one who didn't. The Texans were terrible in 17 because Deshaun Watson blew out his knee when they were 3-3, so they were not the same, but John Robinson knew him so well. But I'm sure Arthur Smith would get a big endorsement from a lot of former head coaches who were there.
Yeah, and that's the thing, John. I mean, I covered that team, and I talked to him at practice because he was a tight end coach. I didn't know for 5 years, this is how terrible I am as a reporter, who his dad was, because it was never a big deal. It was always about talking football with him, and I love talking to him, and I had no idea who his dad was. But, yeah, I mean, I see that. But you make a good point. Every coach kept him. He busted his ass, got the opportunity, didn't have a quarterback in Atlanta. I agree. He could have one here in Nashville, so I hope they look at it that way.
I think that whatever they do, Amy Adams Strunk has to listen to the people that she put in charge and is paying a lot of money. And that whatever coach Mike McGonzie and Chad Brinker want to hire, that's the one they should hire, because she's paying them a lot of money to recommend people to her. And if you don't like it, fire them and, you know, save your money. But she can't hire somebody because he used to be there. She's got to hire him because her top people believe this is the coach for the job.
John, before we let you go, I don't even know if Joe has noticed this yet, but today would have been the 54th birthday for the late, great Frank Wycheck, who passed away a couple of years ago. He, to me, was – you talk about some of the pillars of the early days of the Titans, obviously a big part of the Music City Miracle. What did Frank mean to the organization?
Well, I'll tell you how Frank got that job. In 1995, when Steve McNair was a rookie, and Heath Shuler was with the Redskins, the Oilers and the Redskins had a preseason game in Knoxville, and they practiced against each other in Maryville outside Knoxville. And I was sitting next to Charlie Casserly, who was a GM of the Redskins, in the stands at practice. And his guy started making a bunch of catches, and I said, who's that guy right there? He said, he had to look at his roster, and he said, his name's Wycheck. He said, we think he's got some talent. Well, the Oilers watched him too. You know, Floyd Reese was watching him too, and when they had a chance to get him, they got him. Turned out to be one of the best moves the organization made. Frank was good here, but boy, nothing like what he became in Nashville.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We certainly miss him. John, thanks as always. Appreciate you shifting things around, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much. It's going to be an exciting time for the Titans.
Yes, indeed. John McClain joining us on the program, presented by Maple Street Biscuits. Wake up to WOW, and certainly do appreciate that. We'll react to some things. We'll get back to your phone calls on who you think should be the next head coach for the Titans. Do you give Mike McCoy a chance? You heard the press conference. What's kind of your thoughts there? 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 1025 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025 The Game on this Tuesday. Mike McCoy, the interim head coach now of the Two-Tone Blue and the Tennessee Titans. But first, Joe, tell us about something special.
Well, let's bring in our good friend Belinda Daniel. She is with the Roxy 8 Theater in Dixon, a dear friend of ours. Belinda, how are you?
Hey, Joe, I'm doing good. How are y'all?
We are wonderful. I'm excited for what you got going on. Explain again what you got going on, because you have this very cool military movie festival happening, but it's a deeper thing than that, is it not?
It is. I'll let Matt tell you about that. I was just going to introduce him. This is Matt Broman. He is a judge advocate for the American Legion and the Department of the great state of Tennessee.
Beautiful. Put Matt on then. Yes. Let us yell at Matt.
He's right here.
Yes, I am. Yeah, this is really, really important. It's so much more than just a great few movies you can see. And really, some of these movies haven't been seen on the big screen in years. And there are a lot of bad movies that come out, but every one of these movies is, I think, legitimately a great movie. But what this is really all about is every day on average, 22 veterans in America take their own lives. And to me, that seems like a completely unacceptably high number. And so the American Legion has focused on getting people to recognize that you could be the one person who stands between a veteran and the end of their life after they've already promised and taken action to defend our freedoms. So this military movie festival, in between the 3 o'clock showing and the 7 o'clock showing, we're going to have a gathering where we talk about the movies, military experience, and connect people with the resources they need to be connected, because the number one way to reduce suicide is to increase human connection. And that's what going to the movies is about. That's what Belinda is doing here at the Roxy. That's what living in Dixon is all about. And I would really love it to have more and more of Middle Tennessee come out here to Dixon and see how connected we can be to each other through the love of movies and the love of those who served our country.
Hey, amen. Matt, if somebody wants to reach out and can't make it to the movie but wants to reach out to you for help, what should they do?
So to reach the American Legion in Tennessee is probably the easiest way to get over the radio. The Tennessee American Legion has a website. Just type in Tennessee American Legion. But you can also type in my name, Matt Broman. It's just Broman's a little bit tricky to spell. And really, the easiest way to get connected with what we're doing with this Be The One movie festival is to connect with the Roxy in Dixon, because they have been the number one sponsor and patron of this. They have been just terrific hosts. And anything anybody wants to do to get involved and kick in will make a huge difference. You could be the one.
All right, good. And I know our friends at Unity Psychiatric Care are going to help you guys out with this. So it's a team effort coming together. So, again, yeah. The movies start today, and they run end of the month, and they're all great war movies, the ones that we remember and everything. And, Matt, the goal is to get some of our heroes out there and talk and open up, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just honestly – so many of our veterans just are convinced that people don't pay any attention to anything they did. And even if they were just to show up in the movie theater and see a room full of people to see a movie like Stripes, which we've got coming on next week, a simple comedy, Cold War, Stripes. If we filled the theater full of people, I guarantee you there'd be a whole lot of Cold War era veterans who would all say, wow, I didn't think I mattered. But watching them all enjoy this movie, enjoy what I did, this means something to them. So really, if people just come out, it'll make a big impact.
Yeah, beautiful.
They'll just come to Dixon. They'll see how nice we are down here.
That's right, Belinda. All right, the website, Roxy8.com. All the information is there. We want our veterans to come out there because they are heroes and we love them. And if you need help, as we always say, reach out and talk. So, Matt, Belinda, thank you for this. I'll put it out through all the social media posts. And if we can just save one life, guys, we're doing it. Just one. It's all we need. So, thank you all.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Matt, Belinda. Thank you so much. And again, that's the Be The One Music Festival, Military Music Festival, the Roxy 8 and Dixon. All kind of great military movies out there. And plus, there'll be some experts there on site to help you out. So please go. We tell you all the time, please reach out, talk to somebody. If you are struggling, if you're a veteran struggling, please reach out to the American Legion or out to the Roxy for all that. So thank you. All right.
Yes. Please. Amen to that. And appreciate them. All right, so initial impressions of Mike McCoy.
The typical coach speak.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just riding the ship.
If you're going to say he won the press conference, okay, yeah, he did. I mean, he said the right things, but I just – like, I don't think I'm by myself here.
I'm with you.
He has no chance to be the head coach. He shouldn't. I mean, nothing against him, but, like, they need to just
– Remember, though –
The only guy that needs to remain on that staff, in my opinion, is Bones Fossil and maybe Denard Wilson.
Remember, we all get drunk off that interim success. He went 6-3, and the guys like him. And we're going to – Antonio Pierce, prime example, took over for the Raiders. We love him. What an absolute disaster he was.
Okay, so the two times that – In recent memory that they've been here or almost here, that they have gone the interim round. 94 with Jeff Fisher, won one game. It was the last game of the season. He got the job. Mike Mularkey won two games, including his first game as the interim head coach. He got the job. So there is that. But I think in this situation, again, nothing against Mike McCoy. Now, if they run the table, then all right, we're going to have a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But and Cam Ward all of a sudden becomes, you know, the Patrick Mahomes, then okay, that's a different conversation. But the odds of that happening are not very good. They need to start over.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I want a situation where this Brinker Borgonzi thing is going to hire the head coach, not somebody on the staff of a guy that was hired by Rand Carthon.
It's going to be Matt Nagy, isn't it?
I don't know.
He's got experience. They have a connection from Kansas City.
You know what's crazy is now I have reached out to folks that we know in Chicago because I haven't heard, but, you know, I was on a show in Kansas City yesterday, and I brought him up, and I was like, I don't know how great I feel about that. And I kind of got cut off of like, look, he got Mitchell Trubisky to the playoffs. Mitchell Trubisky sucks. He had a winning record. He's coached with Andy Reid on many different occasions.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like, all right, there's a plus there. And then what Tim Hasselbeck said of saying, hey, I wouldn't be so down on him.
Plus, I think they hire somebody who's been a head coach.
I hope so.
Art's been a head coach. Nagy's an Art. You know, I'm not calling him. We know him as Art. So I'm on the Art train, you know. And then Nagy, I think you got to have somebody that's experienced and even failed. That's fine. But Art, you think Art Smith's a better coach today than he was in 2020 before he took that job?
Yes.
Matt Nagy the same way? I totally agree. And nobody said one bad thing about Art Smith. The only bad thing nobody said, he didn't have a quarterback in Atlanta. He tried.
I'm going to tell you something that whoever the head coach is, something that I would do that they probably won't do, but that I would do to my first hire on my staff, Mike Munchak. Bring him home to fix this offensive line.
I thought Bill Callahan was the all-time offensive line.
He he's going to be an offensive line coach again if he wants to be. But
he was terrible.
I just think the whole setup was terrible. We were wrong. Like anybody that, and I was one of them, anybody that liked all these moves in the hire, you were wrong. And I was one of them.
I wasn't, because he never called plays.
Right. You were against him from the beginning.
And that doesn't mean he's not a good position coach. I just did he to lead a sure. team like but, that, it just didn't.
But Mike Munchak, if my and the rumors have been that Mike is interested in coaching again, I would call Mike Munchak to run the O-line.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, hey, and look, that's one that Amy could personally make. Be like, come home. I want you to come home.
Had a little bad taste, so I hear, after the split after 2013.
Yeah, but still.
Okay.
They're, you know, that's what I would do. All right, coming up next, we'll put a bow on things with What Day Is It? Celebrity Birthdays here on this Tuesday. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Hey, I've been talking about it. The Yellowwood 500 weekend is coming up this Friday through Sunday at the Talladega Super Speedway. Talladega is one of my favorite places, and it's where you can see the sport's biggest stars battle it out to secure a spot in the championship four at Phoenix with the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series, the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and, of course, the Cup Series. TalladegaSuperspeedway.com or call 877-GO-TO-DEGA to get your tickets today. It's also not too late to enhance your race weekend experience with passes to the Talladega Garage Experience presented by Cool Ray, the most immersive garage experience in NASCAR. Access to the Cup Series Garage Bay viewing areas, pre-race ceremonies, driver and crew chief Q&A sessions, Mobile One Victory Lane trophy photos, and so much more. But you have to add that to your tickets. Just go to TalladegaSuperspeedway.com or call 877-GO-TO-DEGA. Chase and Big Joe here on this Tuesday. A lot to react to. DVD will have full reaction coming up next. Also, a programming note, Barry Trotz, Predators general manager, will join them at 4 o'clock today because I'll have the pregame show for you as the Preds take on Toronto coming up at 5, looking to make it back-to-back wins and continue the point streak to start the season as they take on the Maple Leafs. With that, let's get to What Day Is It in Celebrity Birthdays.
All right, first on the list, we're not having coupon codes available today. So the next one we have is Ada Lovelace Day. All right.
I used to eat at Lovelace a lot because I'd go with my grandmother.
Yeah, I guess Ada was a part of that. It's observed every second Tuesday of October. So let's see. Be Bald and Be Free Day.
There we go, baby.
It can mean a lot of things, Joe. Headspace Day is today in Australia.
What the hell?
What?
All right, move on.
This is a family show. Noon to three.
Okay.
Keep your filth at home.
Okay. International Face of Fears Day is today. So next one we have is National Dessert Day, National Chocolate-Covered Insect Day. I know they eat crickets and chocolate up in Seattle. Yeah,
they
nice
do.
Next one we have is World Standards Day, and it's showing a ruler. So... All right. Own Business Day is today, so own your own business.
You do.
Indeed. You're right. Thank you. National Lowercase Day, so type in lowercase letters.
Two more.
And last one here, actually.
Okay, good.
National Frump Day. So.
Oh, frump.
Yep.
Nice.
All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Got to get these within two. This segment sponsored by possibly you.
Together at CromwellMedia.com.
Our first, Chase, you go first. How old is Usher?
Ooh. 44.
50.
47. You guys are wrong on that one. Next up is the funny, a friend of the show, funny man Jay Pharoah.
Who's going first?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dutch Crane. My bad.
60.
56.
38. Nick, you've never heard of Jay Pharoah, have you?
No, I have a buddy named Danny Pharoah.
That's the same. All right, Chase, you go first for this one. How old is singer? Oh, very popular British singer Cliff Richard. How old is he? Very popular.
I don't know Cliff Richards. I know Cliff McCardle, but that's the only Cliff.
only I'm gonna laugh at that. That's funny.
It's an inside joke. Our promotions director Cliff, who does a wonderful job, and loves loves hearing his name on the radio.
He does, and vacations.
And the Yankees. 46.
52.
Cliff Richard's 85.
Nice.
Dr. Crane, you're up now. Greg Evigan, he was the actor in the TV show BJ and the Bear.
80.
84.
72. Chase, you're up. This guy was blinded with science. Singer Thomas Dolby.
66.
67. Dr. Crane's on the board. Dr. Crane, you go again. She played Keanu Reeves' girlfriend in Point Break. Lori Petty.
50.
I feel like she was on a TV show, too, wasn't she?
Maybe.
I'm going to say 62.
62, exactly. Chase, round of the blues, up 2-1. Chase, you go first now. Country singer Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks. I refuse to call them the Chicks, the Dixie Chicks.
She's the short little loud one, right? I'm sorry.
Yes. That's the one.
All she does, she got him in trouble. She
I'm runs with you, man. Fine.
57.
58.
51. Remember, well-behaved women, what did Mae West say? Well-behaved women never accomplish something. All right, Dr. Crane, you're up. Chase up 2-1. TV personality Stacey Keibler.
53.
WWE's Stacey Keibler.
It is.
50.
46. Chase, you're up now. Former NFL wide receiver Charlie Joyner, one of the best receivers of all time.
62.
67?
78. Dr. Crane, you. Keith Byers, one of the best running back / fullback / pass catchers ever.
71.
That's pretty good. 73.
62. Chase, you're up. Joe Girardi.
61.
58.
61, exactly. Dr. Crane, you're up. Stephen A. Smith, I'm here to tell you, today's my birthday.
52.
Brian Callahan. Stephen A., 60.
58. Chase, 5-1. Last one, Chase, you go first. One of my all-time favorite basketball players from Ohio State, Jim Jackson.
54.
59.
55. Chaser laid low for a little bit, came back and won 6-1. Well done.
All right. There you go. That's what day is it? Celebrity birthdays. Wanted to read this. Paul Kuharsky put this stat out there. Per Stathead, Cam Ward is just the sixth rookie starting quarterback since the year 2000 to have a completion percentage of 55 or less through his first six games. So Cam Ward's at the top of this list with 55. Andrew Luck in 2012, 53.6. Mark Sanchez, 2009, 52.1. He took a stab at it. Carson Palmer.
Cut his mic.
Carson Palmer, 2004 with a 55. Kyle Bowler, 2003 in Baltimore, 52.6. David Carr in Houston, 2002, with 49.7.
Stats don't matter when your team's 1-5 and you've played terrible this last game. Terrible.
I just wanted to pass that along.
Okay.
I just thought it was an interesting stat and I wanted to pass it along. So
okay.
There you go.
What do you think our boy Vrabel – I know we got to get out. What do you think our boy Vrabel is doing this right now? I mean, when he heard the news, because, you know, he has that certain – what's the word, the schadenfreude, where you
– He probably laughed.
Yeah.
He probably laughed. But we'll see. That is going to do it for us. DVD coming up next.
Hey, as we leave the show every time, and listen, we appreciate so many people that have reached out to us. We'll continue the message on mental health to the guys out there. If you are struggling, I need you to talk to somebody on your cell phone. You could dial 988. We go to our website, thegamenashville.com. Click on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We have professional help that you can get that's private, that's secure, that's confidential. I just need you to go there because I tell you all the time, I want to come to your comeback party. I want to be there. I want to be on the front row. You know what? I want backstage passes to your comeback party. That's how much we love you. Please do that. Know that we love you so much. And more importantly, more than anything else in this world, please know this, that God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming up next. They'll have full reaction to Mike McCoy and also Barry Trotz at 4 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game.